Welcome back to Policy with a Purpose. I'm Renee Ellsbury.
And I am Indiana's own Dana Black.
Dana, we are here at the 86th Street Pub today.
This is the third show at the 86th Street Pub. I got to tell you, I love the spot.
I do too. Their food was really good.
Their food was wonderful. But we got a whole bunch of little sponsors for the show, don't we?
Yes. JL Media today has been picking up sponsors left and right, but that doesn't mean that you can't be a sponsor
Absolutely.
Of Policy with a Purpose.
You should reach out to Johnny Lyles at JL Media today. If you like what we're doing on Policy with a Purpose, sign on up. Become a sponsor so we can continue to bring you great content. In the meantime, we want to thank Pabst Blue Ribbon,
Sam Ash Music in Castleton,
and travel agent Sue for their sponsorship with Policy with a Purpose. We really, really, really do appreciate your support in what we're doing.
So Dana and I are here to talk about the Department of Education.
Yeah.
So we have this lovely bill that's been presented, and it's to eliminate the Department of Education.
Can you believe that?
But, you know, Dana and I have talked about the pros and cons of the Department of Education, and we understand that Representative Thomas Massie out of Kentucky has introduced this bill simply because there are so many things that are being discussed, and they really feel like the Department of Education should be handled state by state, very similar to the Environmental Protection Act.
Absolutely. And there are some pros and cons, and we do see, if you look at from a historical timeline, you see things that have changed since the beginning of the Department of Education, prior to, and some things that have happened after. So there, I am not necessarily saying that we should eliminate, but this is something that a real discussion can be had. But the one line bill of eliminating it's a little bit, it leaves it wide open to just cut some of the work that they do at the Board of Education.
And so one of the things that Dana and I talked about that the Department of Education does is it puts forth Title IX. And Title IX has been talked about very recently because there has been a change to Title IX.
Right. And let's understand what Title IX was and what is. Title IX basically says if you are an institution that is receiving public funding, you have to make sure that everyone who is attending that school, university, elementary school, whatever, people have the opportunity to access utilities or facilities.
Facilities.
Meaning, for example, girls who love to play basketball, before Title IX, there was not a place for them to go play basketball.
That's right.
I mean, I know that's the most simplistic form, but, you know, they weren't allowed to play on the boys' team, and there was no accommodation to let girls play.
It pretty much removes any discrimination being able to take place on an educational facility that receives fundings from the federal government.
Absolutely.
And this happened back in 1972. So another purport of, Title IX is that it could be a public or a private institution. Mm-hmm. So even some people think, oh, well, it's a private school, this doesn't apply. That's not true because they still get federal funding. And if you have scholarship programs and you have students that are receiving these scholarship programs and they are attending that university, then they are receiving federal funds.
Now, why is this important? A lot of people are thinking, well, what's the big deal? Girls just want to play sports. Well, listen, one of the things that we learned in the late 70s, early 80s, when the numbers were coming out, most of our most successful leaders, CEOs and chief financial officers and leaders of organizations play team sports.
That's right. And it's to make sure that there's equal treatment of both female and male
and
student
equal
athletes.
Equal opportunity.
Right.
Why should
so they both get the same types of facilities. They both get the same type of equipment and supplies. They both get, their access to tutoring, good coaching, competitive medical training and facility services, the same kind of dining facilities. It really, truly is about making sure that things are being treated equally across the sexes.
Even regardless of how much money that particular sport brings in, right? Because some of the argument always was the football team and the basketball teams typically fund athletic departments. Well, wait a second. The golf team ain't bringing in a lot of money. men
right.
or women's golf or the men's tennis team or lacrosse team, but they were still allowed to use the facilities. The swim team was still allowed to have what they needed, but it was still the football and basketball team that were funding a lot of the athletics.
And there's the other part of Title IX. It's not just about athletics. It's also about any part of education. So the courses being offered.
Come on.
Counseling being offered, financial assistance, student health and insurance benefits, housing, educational programs, activities, on-campus employment. All of those things fall under Title IX.
Absolutely. And so I think what we wanted to talk about more, because, you know, we've done 2 hours of education and we've never really gotten all the way through, and I don't think we ever will, but in this particular case, we want to talk about Title IX and the impact that it has on how universities and schools deal with campus assaults.
Right, and we understand that this is a hot topic button for many people because, you know, anytime someone is assaulted and it is a traumatic experience.
It is.
And we recognize that this is a traumatic experience and it's very hard to talk about. And sometimes, you know, in our social media, we've seen a lot of the hashtag MeToo's going about and a lot of people, you know, not truly understanding what the point was behind that to try to get, you know, Me Too being representative as, yes, I too have been subject to this type of treatment. I've been assaulted in this way. And it doesn't mean that, you know, just because you didn't see that hashtag on your friend's social media pages, that doesn't mean they have been affected, because the trauma runs so deep that they don't want to relive it. They don't want to talk about it.
Right.
They don't want to admit it. But Title IX handles if this happens on a campus.
Yes.
And the reality is that these things do happen on campus. It's going to be public knowledge, so I'm not going to upset anybody, but I get alerts if there's been anything that happens on the campus that I go to.
Wow.
And so I get text messages and emails to make me aware. Since the start of the fall semester, I have had 2 alerts about a sexual assault happening on campus.
That's terrible. That's too many. That is way too many.
And that's just one campus across the entire United States.
Right. So,
and that's just the ones that have been reported.
Right. Because a lot of assaults don't go reported. And one of the reasons why is because typically the victim becomes fodder, and the assailant, their father will write an amazing letter to the judge. And I'm specifically speaking to the Stanford situation.
Yes.
And their father will write a letter to the judge. And because they're all alumni of Stanford, he gets a pat on the wrist, 3 months of time served, and voila, where this young woman's life has been altered forever. So, you know, it is very difficult to get women, I'm not even going to say women. It's very difficult to get victims of assault to come forward. I imagine it's even more difficult for men who have been assaulted because, you know, the stigma of being manly men and what that means, and so there's even less reporting of men who are assaulted, but sexual assault victims are out there, and they're not coming forward because they know that they'll get picked apart.
And sexual assault happens to everyone. It's just not a man perpetrator.
It can happen to anyone.
It can happen, but it is predominantly women.
Yes,
and
who are assaulted.
The fact of the matter is that women who are between the ages of 18 and 24 and in college are 3 times more likely to be at risk for assault.
Yes, they're way more vulnerable.
And that 11.2% of all students experience rape or sexual assault through physical force, violence, or incapacitation on campus.
That's so high.
11.2%.
That's high.
And I'm not telling you guys this to scare you from sending your children to college. I'm telling you this because we have to protect our children.
Absolutely.
If this were to happen, because with 11.2% statistic numbers, it very well could happen to, if not your child, someone's child that you know.
Absolutely. And Title IX is supposed to be the mechanism that makes sure that victims' rights are protected and their stories are heard and justice is brought forward. Because we know, again, that in a male-dominated society, even though there are more women in college statistically than there are men, it's still a male-dominated space. And there's this thing in our society that we do in our society, and we protect the assailant.
And just to kind of put this in perspective, there are 2 sexual assaults to every 1 robbery on a campus.
Come on. That it.
And I'm not making this. I'm not making these numbers up. These are statistics that come from campus because Title IX requires a reporting system back to the Department of Education, which is access to every single person. And the National Sexual Assault has to be registered. It all has to be documented. And that means the 2 sexual assaults to every 1 robbery on a campus.
So that's why we're bringing this to you, because the current director of the Department of Education, Betsy DeVos, who has no background in education, is working to revamp, change, dump, change portions of Title IX, which I find incredibly interesting that a woman would be making it easier for assailants to get away with committing assault on other human beings.
Well, and so, you know, these changes are looking from their changes. They're saying, well, we might be too quick to judge. And I'm a believer in, you know, that you need to do fact finding when a crime has taken
Absolutely.
Place. And sexual assault is a crime. And you need to do fact-finding.
Absolutely.
And you need to make sure that you have these facts correct, because you are going to alter 2 people's lives.
Right.
And sometimes more.
Absolutely. Depending on right. You know, lacrosse, the Duke lacrosse case comes
yes.
to mind. Yep.
So we have to keep that in mind. But to say, well, maybe we're too quick to judge. Maybe we need to be a bit more lenient. To me, in my opinion, which I don't give often on this show, when you are
not
saying,
like me anyway,
when you are saying that we are being too lenient, then you are shaming the victim.
Absolutely.
You are trying to say to
being
the
too
victim.
Harsh, being too harsh,
right.
too quick to judge,
you're
right.
Doing, yeah, you're looking for a reason that this should not have happened. Well, it should not have happened. You're absolutely right. But that shouldn't, it isn't because of, you know, Joe Schmo thought that, you know, she wanted it. That's not how this works, people.
Nope.
You know, we are not victim shaming. And in a society where that is very common, it has to stop. We have to treat every single human being with respect, no matter their age, sex, gender, what they're wearing, who they're with. It doesn't matter. You treat them with respect. You don't lay your hands on another human being without permission.
Even if they're passed out. Even if they're passed out.
Even if they've had, you know,
too much to drink. And they've passed out.
Or even if they said yes and then changed
their mind.
It's
yes.
not okay.
It is not okay, because it is not your right. It is not you don't own it. this is not the mythical caveman days where you conquer over her head and drag her back to your cave and it's yours. This is not how this works. And the changes that you know, they're looking to make in Title IX basically says, well, before we just automatically suspend or expel, let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. And listen, we're already giving people the benefit of the doubt more than we should with the way Title IX is written as is.
Exactly.
What you are basically saying is, you know, we're just going to, you know, we're not going to be as diligent about finding out the truth.
Well, and their thought was, you know, the time frame set by President Obama is too short of a time frame. We need longer terms. We shouldn't make decisions in 90 days.
90 days is more than enough time.
Yeah, we should not make decisions. If you cannot fact find in 90 days, then you are not doing your job.
But a semester is how long?
A semester is
right around 100 days.
Yeah.
So if you can learn a subject, because some subjects are only
exactly
90,
if you, you can become
long.
An expert in an area.
In an area, I know that I tell people all the time, I took 3 semesters of programming that let me know that I would never be a programmer. But I took 3 semesters. One semester for 3 different levels of programming.
Right.
One was algorithms, one was Java, and one was something else. I forgot.
Sure.
Visual Basics, but that was a long time ago. But the point was is that by the end of that semester, I should have been able to write code.
Absolutely, you should have.
So if you can teach me a whole new language in a semester, then you should be able to determine the truth of an assault. Because we're talking about intelligent people who understand investigating.
Exactly.
They should be able to determine. And anything other than that is basically saying, no, it's not like that. Now, mind you, all of this stuff is public. What happens to that person who is making the accusations? We know what happens to young women or assailants, or I'm sorry, of victims who come forward about sexual assault or molestation. They are victim shamed to death. What happens to their grades? What happens to their self-esteem? What happens to their social network?
Well, and I've talked previously about a show and how a traumatic experience can change, you know, how they develop. And we're talking about the people from 18 to 24 who are still developing. They right. are developing. And when you have a traumatic incident like a sexual assault, that puts them going backwards.
Absolutely.
So they are no longer able to meet the same types of things that they can do. It increases suicide rates. It increases self-harm rates. It increases substance abuse rates. We are talking about issues that are human being issues, whether you're male or female or whatever you recognize yourself as. It affects every single person.
I want to take you back to the 80s real quick. So between
I got pop hair, my hair's all teased up as high as I can get those bangs.
Hey, I've got the Michael Jackson jackets on. I got the Jerry curl. We're going to do this. So in the summer my freshman year of high school started in 84. So the summer of 84, from eighth grade to freshman year, you have lifelong friends, right? So there were kids that I went to school with from kindergarten. And there was a young girl the whole time from kindergarten to the eighth grade. I'm not going to say her name, but the interesting part is her last name was the opposite of mine, and she had the same first initial that I did.
That's funny.
So it was so interesting that we were in this space together from kindergarten all the way up. She was a vivacious and an outgoing and engaging and a smartass, you know.
Chick. So just your type.
Yeah, I mean, she was, you know, I didn't know I had a type back then. I was still, okay. A little young for me. But, you know, up until our you know, 13, 14 years old, she was a very regular, and I hate to use the term regular, but she was a normal, acclimated young girl in school.
Enjoying life.
Our freshman year of high school, something totally switched. She couldn't walk down hallways where people were in the hallway with her.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, kids are cruel. They would tease her, you know, and they wouldn't verbally tease her. They knew that she was afraid of people or whatever it was. She didn't want to be around people.
But they didn't know why.
We didn't know why, but we suspected. And because of our suspicions, you know, you're talking about traumatic events, when you see that a young woman was who she was, a young woman on her way to greatness, and her whole social skill set is gone.
Right.
This is what can happen, right, when we allow people to be sexually assaulted, and then we don't take the necessary steps to bring the assailant to justice. And I think what Betsy DeVos is trying to do with Title IX and rolling back, because are we rolling them back because they're bad, or are we rolling them back because Obama's name is attached to them? I really don't know, and that's for the others
to
debate.
Well, in her words, and I am just going to say, you know, just from an excerpt of her discussion about this, she stated that she feels like, let me see if I can find the exact wording for her. She said, "The current system hasn't won widespread support, nor has it inspired confidence in its so-called judgments, because survivors aren't well served when they are re-traumatized with appeal after appeal because the failed system failed the accused, and no student should be forced to sue their way to due process." Now, I can't say that I disagree with that. But what she's really leaving out is the fact that the survivor is not getting their due justice because they're letting the assailants have more time to get their support teams in place.
Absolutely.
To make them look better.
Absolutely. And that's just, I mean, again, we're favoring, and if, let's just put it out there. Let's just put it on the table, because I know people don't want to do it. We're talking about the vast majority of assailants are men.
Yes.
We're talking about the vast majority of assailants are men, and we're doing everything we can to coddle these men when they want to go do something that they shouldn't be doing. Now, this is one of the things that we talked about when we were whether or not we were going to bring this subject up. We don't talk about how we need to hold these men and say who they are, say what they are, say where they come from. These are not women assaulting other women. It does happen. It does happen, but not at the same rate. And we're talking about the vast majority of men. Now, brothers, I'm not telling you that I hate on men. I don't.
No.
When I need something heavy lifted, I swear you, the first people I call.
She's being a smartass now.
But my point is, this is a culture. This is a rape culture.
It is.
That we live in. From the
And if we do not make a stand on these college campuses where there is a 11.2% chance that this assault is happening there.
Yes.
If we do not make a stand there, what are we telling the young women?
What are we telling what are we saying to women? We're saying, women, it really doesn't matter.
No. And we're saying that we're okay with this continuance of the rape culture that we are currently existing in.
Absolutely. And it's all, and it really, a lot of times, if we know, a lot of times it is not about sex.
Oh, no.
It's
no.
not
a
about
lot of times
sex.
It's about control. It's a lot it's about power. And let me tell you something. There are many ways to have power that do not involve degrading someone else. Does not involve
it does
your
not.
Hands touching another human being.
It does not.
You know, there's a theme to a lot of the things that Dana and I talk about. And that is the fact that we are all human beings.
On this planet together.
If we cut ourselves open, we are all going to bleed red.
Bleed the same.
And
all
our
the
hearts
organs are
going to be
the same place.
You know, we're all breathing in the air that we want to be clean.
Right.
We all want to, you know, we all want to be able to walk down the street without being assaulted.
Some of us have six packs. Some of us have kegs.
Doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
You know, and we really are, when we talk about Title IX, we understand what Title IX stands for. And
yes.
We are all for the non-discrimination that Title IX brought forth. What we're not for is using it as a way to continue a culture of assault.
Absolutely. And, you know, I will be an advocate. For those who want to fight this, because this is one of those things where this is not a partisan issue.
No, this
I'm sorry,
is not a partisan issue.
I'm sorry.
Issue.
Republican, independent, and Democrat women have all been assaulted.
Exactly.
By Republican, Democrat, and independent men.
Yes.
This is not a partisan issue. And if you want to make it a partisan issue, something wrong with you. This is not a religious issue.
No.
Jewish people, Christians, and Islams and non-atheists or atheists have all been assaulted by those same groups of people. So this is not a partisan issue. This is a human issue. And if you are not willing to stand up for protecting the rights of victims from women who just want to go to school and get an education and become successful in America, then something is – you need to check your soul. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm sorry. To put your hands on somebody in such a way that just strips them – of who they are and just degrades them down to that.
And we can't put our children in a bubble. We can't put our children. We can't walk the campus with them and hold their hands and make sure they have to go out there and live their lives
on their own.
But it's our responsibility as citizens to make sure that we put laws and policies in place to protect them.
Absolutely.
And this is one that is needed for the protection of everyone around.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so if you feel passionate as Dana and I do, because Dana and I feel very passionate that in
people
no
are not assaulted
way
on campus.
Yeah. You know, this shouldn't even be a topic for discussion. This should, we are in 2017.
Right.
We are in 2017 where any human being can be anything they want in this world.
Anything.
You know, if you have a goal, there are the means to achieve it. If you work your network and you use the resources that are out there and you take every opportunity you
and
have.
And jump over every obstacle, because there are going to be obstacles.
And you build a community that is supportive and loving and surrounds you in an environment where you can succeed. That starts with your education.
Come on.
And you need to be safe when you go to campus.
Absolutely. And I don't care if that campus is a high school campus or a college campus. I don't care. your children and young people should be safe and free to think and free to learn without having to put some look over their shoulder when they're walking from the library at, you know, 8 o'clock on a November night, which isn't even late.
You need to reach out to your representative. You need to contact them, and you need to say, I stand up with Title IX.
That's right.
I stand up that there should not be a discrimination policy, that there should not be more victim blaming in our society.
And assault, giving them pats on passes for just boys being boys.
Yeah. 90 days is plenty of time to do a criminal investigation.
Absolutely.
And this is a criminal investigation.
A criminal investigation. Just because they're on campus. I mean, the letter that the Stanford father wrote about, you know, don't let this incident ruin his life for the rest of his life. The blatant disregard of the victim.
Right. Her life has been ruined. She has been traumatized.
From the judge
right.
to the father to the son.
Exactly.
There were three cases of men who failed her. We know that our guy...
And our society failed her for having the laws in place that could even happen.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, we bring this show because we want to like, you know, get you plugged in emotionally sometimes to the issues that are going to impact. It may not impact you today, but it may impact you tomorrow.
And we want you to have passion about the policies that are affecting you, because every policy that our government puts in place does affect you, whether you realize it or not.
Whether you like it or not.
You are not in a silo.
You're not. We're all in this together. And on top of that, you pay for this system. You put tax dollars in every time before you even get your check. Uncle Sam got his. So you are paying into this system. And so this system needs to be protecting you. So I hope you feel like I feel about this. I know you do. You know, Renee, we are serious about protecting lives and doing things the right way.
So I want you to reach out to your representatives. I want you to tell them what you think of
Absolutely.
This change to Title
Absolutely.
IX.
Title
I want you to think, tell them what you think about, you know, the elimination of the Department of Education. And I want you to, you know, take control
of your government.
Of your government. You. This is the power of the people. Take control
the
of your
letters,
government.
The biggest words on the Constitution are what?
We are
we the
people.
People. All
so
right.
You have a lovely day, listeners. We appreciate you
Taking
for joining
time.
Us for
Thank
Policy
you to our
with
sponsors.
A Purpose.
Thank you to our sponsors. Pabst Blue Ribbon, Sam Ash Music in Castleton, and Travel Agent Sue, and of course, 86th Street Pub for allowing us to come in here and talk to each other. We enjoy conversations,
Absolutely.
Don't we? We enjoy each other's company. I love it. I am Indiana's own Dana Black.
And I am Renee Ellsbury. Thanks for listening to Policy with a Purpose.